Well, praise the Lord this morning for the treasure that we have found in the Lord. And if you're saved, you got that treasure too. And the thing about it is, there's never a shortage. It never runs dry, never go away. Just the more you get, the more He's got. The more you want, the more you can get. And just make you happy all day long. I'll tell you if you'll trust and believe in Him. Well, we appreciate the Sunday School Hour this morning. I don't know if they recorded that or not. But Brother Josh done a good job this morning in the Sunday School Hour. I appreciated that. And if they got it recorded, you ought to get a copy of it. Listen to it about three or four times. You won't get it all when you first listen to it one time. Sometimes it has to soak in. And especially us Baptists, it takes a little while sometimes for us to get it to soak in. But I'm thankful what the Lord done for us when He saved us. And there's much to be done between now and when He comes and gets us. And I guess I'm on this morning. I think I turned it on. But enjoyed the day yesterday. Appreciate getting to preach to men. It's kind of strange preaching to the men and no women. But anyway, the women's here in the service this morning, and the young ladies, we appreciate everyone coming and being in the house of God this morning. I pray that you'll get a blessing. If you ain't been blessed yet, I pray God bless you before you leave. I don't know what you might have to do to get a blessing from the Lord, but God's got plenty of blessings that He can take and bestow upon you before you leave the house of God this morning. And He's got a red Bible in your hand today. If it ain't R-E-D, it ought to be R-E-A-D.
Amen.
You got a Bible in your hand, it ought to be red. Read your Bible, it'll help you along life's way. Amen. And so I'm thankful for the one that I have in my hand. It is the Word of God.
Amen.
And I do try to read it every day. I try to read the Bible through every year. I try to read through Proverbs once a month, Book of Wisdom. I pray and ask God to give me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. And we need it in the day that we live, and God's able to give it to us. Amen. He said, you have not because you ask not. If we don't ask, a lot of times we fall short. But I won't take a lot of time this morning to do a lot of reading. But I want you to turn to the book of Proverbs, chapter 29. Book of Proverbs, chapter number 29. And then in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. We'll read a couple of verses of Scripture here. And get the thought that I feel like the Lord has placed upon my heart this morning for this hour. Very familiar passage of Scripture, Proverbs 29, verse number 18. The Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. We'll read that one more time. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Then in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, verse number 18 also, he says, I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. Then look what he said. He said, and anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. I want to preach this morning, if God would help me just for a few minutes, on this thought, on the kind of vision we need in 2018.
Amen.
I believe we've kind of lost our vision. And I thought about this when the brother was teaching Sunday school this morning. We as God's people, we've kind of lost our vision along the way.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. And Proverbs 29 and verse number 18, the problem is, brother, where there's no vision, people perish. People's perishing today because they don't have a vision. And most of us today that's been saved by the grace of God, we don't have the vision. We don't see like we used to see. God has blessed us and saved by the grace of God. We ought to be able to see things that the people out there in the world don't see. I'm talking about the things that God instructs us like in the Word of God. And if we'll look around and see today, according to the Word of God, of course we don't know when the Lord is coming, but I'll tell you, by the signs that He's left us in the precious Word of God,
We ought to see that it's getting close today. It's coming. It's closer than it's ever been before. And so, in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 18 down, verses 14 down through verse number 22, the people here, he's talking to the church of the Laodicean. He's talking to them and telling them of their condition they're in, and they could not see that. And then he tells them in verse number 18 of chapter number 3, he gives them the answer to their problem. The problem in Proverbs 29 and verse number 18, without a vision, how people perish. But the answer's in verse number 18, Revelation chapter number 3. He says, anoint thine eyes with eyesight, that thou mayest see. And so the Lord is telling them, if they'll get to, spiritually speaking now, if they'll get that spiritual eyesight and put it in their eyes, they'll take and be able to see how that's in what God wants them to take and see. And so with that in mind, I got my dictionary off the shelf, Brother Shepherd, and I begin to take and look up that word vision, and this is what the dictionary said. I had said to be able to see. I know that. That's been a little while since I've been to school, but it said to be able to see. One definition said this, the power of seeing. One definition said this, said to have sight. We might have 20/20 vision with our physical sight, but I'll tell you, our spiritual sight, it's fell way low. I went to the eye doctor Friday before we came over here, Brother Shepherd, and I'll tell you, he began to take and we talked and fellowshiped a little bit. He said, I've got to go on with the exam. Said, I'm getting behind. And he began to tell me about some things about eyes outside. And so my dad, he's got a disease. He's legally blind. And what he would give to get his eyesight back. Brother Pleasant, not to be 20/20, but let's get him back. Brother Ricky, where he could see. I tell you, to get around better than what he does. But I thought as I was talking to him, and he asked me about my sight, I said, I read without my glasses. And he began to put me on that machine. And he began to click. He said, I'll check them, and then we'll check them again to see if your glasses need to be changed. And so he put that machine there, began to click, and ask, 1, 2, 3, 4, and begin to take and change that. And what he done, he sent that where I could have 20/20 vision. I hate glasses. I will thank God for them. Amen. I like to throw them out the window sometimes. But he checked me and put my glasses back on. And I'll tell you, I could read them little letters. I'll tell you, just like he had on that machine. Wouldn't it be wonderful, Brother Shepherd, before people come into service, I'll tell you, if you had a spiritual machine and checked their vision, and I'll tell you, if it wasn't 20/20, spiritually, I thank God, do something where people could take and see. I'll tell you what, God, I want us to take and see. God, help us as God's children to be able to take and see the things that God wants us to take and see. God will help us. I will tell you. And he's trying to help them people. Our preacher, I'll tell you, he was telling them at the church, at the Laodicean, he said, this is your answer. Anoint your eyes with eyesight. Yeah. And he said, you'll be able to see. Right. And they wouldn't do it. And so it's hard to get people to take and see the things that need to be seen. And here's our problem today. Let me give you this by the way of introduction, and I'll get into the message and we'll be done. I thought about this. This is what we've done today. Have we let the devil come along and dim our spiritual vision? I believe, I watch it now, the Bible talks about him. Bothering our vision. He said, I talks about, let's and if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that's lost, none done without God. And so we let the devil come along and dim our vision today. I read there, and I won't turn in 1 Samuel chapter 3, where Eli, I'll tell you, was there, the leader, and the Bible said his eyes, his vision, eyes waxed dim. I believe it is in verse number 2 or 3 there. I'm telling you, sometimes if we don't watch it, it. I will let the devil snoop around. I'll tell you our spiritual life, and he'll take and dim our spiritual vision that God wants us to have. The second thing I see, as we're reading and studying down the scripture, when the devil dims your vision, it won't be long that he'll dull your hearing. And so them people, I'll tell you, in Revelation chapter 3, could not hear what the Lord had to say. You say, well, preacher, how do you know? He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, watch this now, if any man will hear my voice, he didn't say hear the knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I'll take and come in. And so we've not only I've got our spiritual vision dimmed, but I'll tell you now, I'll tell you, he comes along and he takes and dulls our hearing. I listen up our spiritual ear, that we can't hear what God has come to say. God help us today to take and get our spiritual earplugs out. And I'll tell you, if you need them, thank God, I'll get you some spiritual hearing aids, if there is such a thing, and be able to hear what God has to say. God is speaking, God is talking, God is telling, and we can't either see or hear. I tell him the day we live. And so the devil knows what he's doing. I'm not giving no credit, Brother Pleasant, but I'll tell you, he does know how to work on the child of God. Listen, he cannot get our soul. I thank God we're sealed to the devil redemption. That's enough to shout about in it. But I'll tell you what he does. He tries to hinder us. I'll tell you from doing what God wants us to do. So now watch this. He dims our vision and dulls our hearing because he wants to delay our work that God has for us. I'll tell you, he had work for those people there in the book of Revelation chapter number 3. But they couldn't do it. They couldn't see how to do it. And they didn't want to hear. I'll tell you how to take and get it done for the glory of God. And so what the devil does, he tries to take and delay our work that God wants us to take and do. Every child of God, I don't care how old you are, I don't care how young you are, watch this. If you're saved by the grace of God, God's got work for you to do. He didn't save us to sit on the seat and do nothing. I'll tell you, he's got work for us all to do. But if the devil can take and delay that work, I'll tell you, he'll put a stop to what God wants to be done. Well, let me hasten on now. So when I thought, watch this, I thought, he dims our vision, dulls our hearing, delays, I'll tell you, I walk, and then it won't be long that he'll have us a detour, I'll tell you, off the way that God wants us to take and walk in. I said, praise God, God has a way. In the book of Proverbs 14, verse number 12, Proverbs 16, verse number 25, the Bible said, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But I'm telling you, God does has a way. I'll tell you, for us, we got to the place we want our own way. But God said there's a better way than our way. I said, thank the Lord this morning for the better way. Maybe we ought to call for recess and shout a little while this morning after God giving us a better way. I said, hallelujah for the better way that God's given us. Again, his work. Well, I let you hear a detour. I'll tell you, and he does all this, Brother Shepherd. And I thought about these people there in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, verses 14 down through verse number 22. He done all that to them to damage their walk. I'll tell you with the Lord. I want to tell you, listen, the devil, and I'm not giving no credit this morning, but what the devil is trying to do, he's trying to take and damage our walk that we have with the Lord. Listen, friend, you've got a testimony. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've got a testimony that God's given you. You better hold on to it. You better keep it. Because once it gets damaged, it'll take you maybe a lifetime to get back. I'll tell you what, you let the devil take away from you. Let me ask you this morning, how's your vision? I come out of the doctor's office feeling good. Brother Shepherd, I said, praise God. I don't have to get another set of glasses and try to get used to them. They're hard to get used to. I tell you, got bifocals. I don't need them, but they put them in there. And I'll tell you, when I first got them, I'll tell you, I had to watch where I was stepping. I'll tell you, things look closer than they was. I cannot tell you, listen now, God's got some eyesight this morning that He can take and use to put in your eyes. I'm talking about spiritually, that your spiritual sight can come back like it used to be. I'm telling you, we saw things different. Back a few years ago, then we're seeing today. I'm telling you, hey, listen, we'd see things that make us more happy. I used to than what we see today. But most of the time, the devil just wants us to see the bad. I'll tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you there's still some good things going on today.
Amen.
Still some good things going on today. Hallelujah. We're on our way to heaven.
Amen.
That's good. Amen. And so, as I begin to take and read and study this, I thought, Lord, please help me. Show me some things, Lord, that we need to see today, that the old timers used to see, that would help us in our Christian walk today. And so this is what the Lord put on my heart. Let me give them to you right real quick, and I'll take and be done. I don't know if you can preach quick or not, but I'll tell you, sometimes I've tried. Somebody said, you preach too fast. That's just the way I am. I preach fast. I used to be on the radio for about 18, 20 years. I sometimes 15 minutes, sometimes 30 minutes on some. And I'll tell you, I try to get my money's worth. And it just kept carrying on. So I'm going to try to give you your money's worth this morning. I said, thank God for what God I can do to us. I'm telling you, hey, we're starting on the last half today. We're starting on the last half this year. God help us to be able to see better this last half than we did the first time. Amen.
Amen.
So let me give it to you this morning. As I begin to pray, Brother Shepherd, I thought, Lord, there's bound to be some reason you put this in the Word of God that we might be able to take and help our vision, that not only help us, that we can help other people. The Bible said if the blind lead the blind, both are going to fall in a ditch somewhere. I'll tell you, and we don't see that spiritual ditch. I'll tell you, but if we did this morning, preacher, I'll tell you, we'd probably see a lot of God's people out there watered in that spiritual ditch. I'll tell you that they need to get out of and get back to church.
Amen.
I'll tell you, get cleaned up and get their eyesight back where they won't fall in it. I'll tell you again, but God help us today that we might get the spiritual vision that we need, that you want to help us with along the way. Well, I thought about this. As I began to pray and study and meditate a little bit upon it, I believe the vision we need in 2018, we need to see the sinfulness of sin. I'll tell you once again, we come to a place, I'll tell you, it seems like, listen, in our lives, again, in the time that we live, Brother Shepherd, it seems like we come to a time that it seems like sin is not sinful anymore. Can I tell you today, that it's as sinful in the eyes of God that's ever been. I'll tell you, God help us that we might see sin. I'll tell you, as sinful, I'll tell you as it really is. I won't tell you how sin is still bad in the eyes of God. How sin is still awful in the eyes of God. How can I say today how it's in sin? How you're still destructive in the day that we live. I'll tell you back in the Old Testament, Brother Duncan, I'll tell you, it was so bad that God destroyed, I'll tell you, everything and everybody. I'll tell you, it wasn't on the ark. That's how bad and destructive that it really is. But I'm telling you, you can't tell people and you can't preach enough to people. I'll tell you, preacher, to take and get them to believe like in the day that we live that sin, how you're still sinful. Like in the eyes of God, it's bad. How it's awful. Like in the eyes of God. And look here. Sin is costly. I hear a preacher say years ago, I tell you, years ago, he said, "Sin, I take you farther than you want to go. I keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay." What the devil does, Brother Pleasant, he takes and hides. He hides. That's in the price tag that comes with sin. But I'm going to tell you, friend, thank God we got a forgiving God today that could take and get it on the blood. But I'm telling you, listen, sin was so bad and so awful, it cost the best heaven had. I'll tell you, it took Jesus to the cross. It took the blood. I'll tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only God, Son of God, it took that. I'll tell you, that we might take and have a way to get rid. I'll tell you, sin, sin is bad. I'll tell you, it's awful. And yet we can't see it that way in the day that we live. People up our way, I tell you, people up our way, over in the neck of the woods we live, they think, Brother Shepherd, they think if it's legal, it's all right to take and do. I won't tell you, we've got a set of rules and regulations. I tell you, if you want to have it that way, that goes above the laws of the land, I'll tell you that we're going to have to answer to. One day after a while, listen, they put lottery in 1989. I said it helped the school systems, and it's worse now than it's ever been. I cannot tell you. I believe it's wrong. I believe it's still sin in the eyes of God. But people think, but as long as it's legal, I'm going to tell you, friend, that's a lie. Out of the pits of hell. You better see what God says about gambling. I'll tell you, it's wrong in the eyes of God. Sin's still sinful. It's taking food off the tables. I'll tell you, of a lot of families. And then they put alcohol. Our county was dry for 85 years. And here a few years ago, they voted how to put liquor in. I tell you, Brother Drank, and then they wasn't satisfied with that, boys. And now I tell you, it's everywhere. Our county is a dry county. But I'll tell you, the cities, I'll tell you, it's wet. And it spread it out. And we didn't even have a vote. And I'll tell you on it. But I won't tell you. God said it's still sin. Like in the eyes of God, they might have passed it and voted in. But can I tell you, like in the eyes of God, they won't tell you how we better get to where we can see that sin is still sin in the eyes of God, and it's destructive, and it'll cost you. I'll tell you, but thanks be to God that we've got a way to take it. He said if we'll confess our sins, He'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all that. Thank God He fixed it that way.
Amen.
Ought to get people to come do that.
Yes, sir.
But it's force. Well, we need to see the sinfulness of sin in 2018. And then I thought about this, Brother Shepherd, if you ever watch people when you're out, I watch people. I guess you're not supposed to, but I do. Our grandson graduated, I tell you, back in May, and we went to the graduation, and I got to sitting there, got to looking at all the people, I know you're not supposed to pack what time you're going to schools, but my son, our oldest son, he works at the federal prison, he's able, and I asked him, I said, "You packing?" And he couldn't understand there's so much noise, and so I didn't want to say it real loud, and so I said, "Are you packing?" And he pointed down yonder, somewhere over yonder, I'll tell you, some authorities, I tell you that was, but I told my wife, I looked around, and I'll tell you now, it's about 9 in the shade, and I'll tell you, it's getting close to 6 o'clock, and there was people, I'm talking about young men, I come with coats on, and there was one with a hoodie, I'll tell you on, and I told my wife, I said they could take, and son telling us how much shooting they could do, before authority, and I said, this is what we're going to do, I said, we're going to get down here, between these, I want to tell you, friend, listen, sin is sinful. But can I say this? Sinners is sad. We ought to see the sadness of sinners in the day. I'll tell you, the devil tries to keep us blinded to the fact. I'll tell you, hey, and they might put on a front, and they might act like they're happy. But I'm going to tell you, friend, they ain't happy. happy. I'll tell you, sinners can't be happy. Now listen, God put something down inside of everybody. I'll tell you, that's saved, that's ever been born. I'll tell you, we call it a soul. Now listen, the only thing that'll take care of when God brings conviction, the only thing that'll take care of I'll tell you, that knowing, I'll tell you, that they're actually miserable. Yeah. I down inside is only Jesus.
Amen.
I'll tell you, sinners is sad back in the day we live.
Yes, sir, you're right.
What do you think they're drinking?
Yep.
I tell you, most of the people that put it in there in Somerset, Kentucky, is church members.
Yep.
Somebody said, preacher, I wouldn't say that. I'm getting ready to say it again. Yeah. I said, I'll tell you who put it in. In Somerset, Kentucky's church members.
Yes, sir.
I believe we've got a lot of church members that's lost none time without God.
Yes,
they might come to church, but I'll tell you, they're miserable.
Yes,
I'll tell you, sinners are miserable.
Yes,
I'll tell you, hey, sinners is sad in the day we live. But the devil's got us blinded. We can't see their sadness. I'm telling you, they're sad. Look at their countenance.
Yep.
They're sad. Somebody said, preacher, I get sad every day. I tell you, I do too. But thank God it don't stay there very long. I'm back upon my feet, ready to shout.
Yeah.
I tell you, for the glory of God, I'm telling you, I mention He maketh me happy.
Yeah.
We've got something to be happy about. But they're on the broad road.
Yeah.
That leads to destruction. I pray, tell me, how can you take and be happy? If that's your only hope, if that's your future, I'll tell you, if that's the only place you've got to look forward to, that's awful. A place that's called hell. You can't be happy.
Amen.
Jesus will make you happy.
Amen.
I say praise the Lord for the happiness.
Amen.
And so what we need to say in the day that we live, we need to say that sinfulness, I tell you, sin, the sinfulness of sin, I can hardly tell you, but I tell you, we need to see the sadness of sinners.
Yes, sir.
They're sad, friend. God help us. God help us today that we might be able to say, I'll tell you back, brother, back in 1974 when me and my wife got back in church and I got my life straightened out and she was a lost church member. She got saved by the grace of God. Brother Pleasant, when people would come in the service, I tell you, lost and undone without God, there was something on their countenance. Nobody didn't have to tell you. I tell you, you could look at them and see they had such a sadness on their face. And I'll tell you what it'd do for us. Yet it would put us under such a burden for them. I tell you, we would pray and call their name out in prayer.
Right.
And you know what happened? They didn't come too many times. Brother, they either come and get saved. I tell you, they was out of there.
Right.
I cannot tell you. I thank God. Hey, we don't have power to save them. But I'll tell you, we do have power. I thank to pray conviction down upon them. That they know without a doubt that they need Jesus. I'm telling you, we're missing that. We can't see it.
Right.
I'll tell you in the day we live.
You're right.
Oh, I got to hasten on. Watch this now. The sinfulness of sin and the sadness of the Savior. But look at this, what we need to say. In our day, we need to see the soundness of salvation. Sometimes you get in some places that that people think, you know, people has been too bad. I'll tell you for salvation for their soul, and they got too dirty. I can see them. Have they been too deep? I'll tell you in drugs. But I won't tell you, brother. That's exactly what Jesus came for. In the book of Luke, chapter 19 and verse number 10. He said He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm telling you, listen, salvation is still sound enough to save the vilest of sinners.
Yes,
I'll tell you, God puts them under conviction. I'll tell you, it's so sound that it'll bring them out. And if they'll believe and trust in Him and get salvation for their soul, and He'll change them from a sinner to a saint at the moment how they take and believe.
Amen.
That's how sound salvation is.
Yes,
and it's so sound. Tell them, Brother Shepherd, if I make it the last Sunday this month, I'll be saved for 55 years.
Amen.
And what makes me so happy, I ain't never been lost since I've been saved.
Woo!
Hallelujah. I'll tell you, hey, do you know the reason why? When God saved me and applied the blood to my soul and sealed it to the day of redemption, the devil might be able to take and bother me with the joy and happiness and my eyesight spiritually. But I'm telling you, he can't get to my soul. Yes. I said, hallelujah. He can't get to my soul. Yes. It's sealed. It's sealed to the day of redemption.
Amen.
Oh, I know that's unusual. Like in the day we live. But thank God we that saved by the grace of God. We ought to see that. We ought to be happy. Yes. Salvation is still, I'm said, it's still so sound. It'll save the vilest of sinners.
Amen.
Have you ever seen anybody marked up and sold with the world?
Yeah.
Did you think Jesus wouldn't do nothing for them or with them? And I tell you, sometimes I'm guilty of that,
yes, sir.
Brother Shepherd, but I have to pray and ask God to forgive me.
Yes,
and I read there in the book of Mark, chapter number 5, when that man in the tombs, they might call him a maniac, when they couldn't do nothing for him, and when they couldn't do nothing with him. And I'll tell you, when they would bind him, I'll tell you, in shackles and feathers and chains, and one of them devils, I would start raving, he'd go right back out of where they found him out. But thank God, one day Jesus, I'll tell you, stepped off on shore. Hey, and the Bible said that he ran and fell at his feet. And when they came, I thank God they saw him. He was clothed. I said, the feet of Jesus. I thank God in his right mind.
Amen.
I cannot tell you, salvation still that. I said it still sound like that. He'll say the vilest.
Amen.
I'll tell you of sin.
Amen. That's right.
Woo! Hallelujah. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we'd be out there in the same shape.
Yes, sir.
What else old sinners say? By the grace of God, and the only difference between us and them, we got Jesus, and they need Jesus. I'm telling you, we're made out of the same stuff.
Yep.
This old flesh gets never saved. But I'll tell you, that inward man, he can make a change in it. And when he makes a change, I'll tell you, the devil can't do anything about that.
Amen.
How do you see salvation nowadays? They some says it's just for a select few. I don't believe a word of that. Some can, some can't, and some won't. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe a word of it. I tell you, I believe what the Bible said, whosoever will. I still believe that. And it's an everybody has got that opportunity. I'll tell you, I know it takes him a draw and it takes conviction. I understand that. But I'm telling you, it's a God fixed it where everybody ought to have an opportunity to be saved by the grace of God. That's how sound salvation is.
Yes,
sir. It's how sound salvation is. We need to see that.
Yes, sir.
Well, got to reading on and thinking there, and meditating a little more, Brother Pleasant, and it seemed like the Lord began to take him, as I read there in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, and meditating upon the church of the Laodicea, and seeing the sweet Spirit of God began to take and impress upon me what they need to see. They need to see the strongness of the Savior. Did you know God's still strong? I mean, even in 2018, some people think that he's lost some of his power. Can I tell you, can I tell you this morning, he ain't lost any of his power. Thank God he's able to be everywhere at the same time. I'll tell you, and see everybody at the same time. And he's still able to sit on the throne what time he's doing that.
Amen.
And the devil can't do it. That's how strong, I'll tell you, our Savior is. And I read there, I think this morning, like in the precious Word of God, where he said nothing is impossible with him. I said, praise God. Did you hear that this morning? I'll tell you, nothing's impossible. I'll tell you, with our Savior, God fixed it. We ain't do anything and everything. I'll tell you, won't do. God can do it.
That's right, amen.
God can do it. Hey, look up here. Can I tell you, he's still in control. I've had people try to tell me, so-called preachers, I've tried to tell me, I tell you over the years, I let them that God ain't as strong as he used to be, and ain't as powerful as he used. I had one fellow said, well, why don't he take and stop this abortion if he's that strong? I said, praise God, hold on a little bit. He's going to put a stop to it. I said, praise God, he'll do it in his time and his way. I'll tell you, God will take it to it. And I read this morning, there in the book of Proverbs, I think, 22 and verse number 1. He said the king's heart is in his hands.
Amen.
And like a river, thank God he can turn it any way he wants to. I have to tell you, God's still in control. He's still strong.
Amen.
And that today,
yes, sir.
Ain't nobody took and made him weak.
Amen.
Hey, churches might be weak, but he ain't weak. Praise God.
Amen.
I'll tell you, we might get weak sometime, but he ain't weak. I'll tell you, he's still strong as he's ever been.
That's
and nobody I can take that away from him.
That's right.
He's God.
Amen.
How long has it been since you could see God is that big of a God,
right,
that's able to do everything?
Yep.
Amen. Your life still, when that rain come there in Texas, 50-something inches, and they said, the news reporter said, we ain't never been recorded where it's ever rained that much. I said, I know they didn't hear it. I said, wait, hold on. I read back in the book of Genesis where he rained enough, 18 cubits above the highest point, praise
yep.
God.
Yep.
If he wants to, he can do it again.
That's right.
That's how strong he is.
Amen.
And so I was, my wife was somewhere in a meeting, we was preaching, and they were talking about that volcano over yonder in Hawaii. I tell you, spewing, and I forget how high seemed like they said it's spewing 250 feet. Brother Ricky said that thing, I was spewing 250 feet, and said the temperature of it, I was 2,000 degrees. They talk like that they ain't never seen anything like that before. And I thought, I believe that's hell enlarging itself.
Yep.
I let some spew it up. I tell you, it's going to be a lot worse than 2,000 degrees.
Yep.
I'm telling you, hey, God is strong enough and powerful enough, I believe, to let people see some things that's happened today. We better get some eyes saved. I can hear us where we can see what God has tried to get us to see.
Amen.
I believe that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
They talked about how it was spewing and bubbling and rolling, and I thought, my soul. I read an article one time here about a few years ago where they said there's an atheist and a volcano or something was getting ready to spew, and they said he got, in the article said he got close to the mouth of that volcano, and I guess it belched or burst or something or another. And I tell you, he took off, and they said his heart, oh God, as he run down over the hill. I'm going to tell you, they call themselves atheists. Listen, but I believe everybody believes there's a higher power. I look at nature itself, and I'll tell you, there's a higher power. I listen, there's a God in heaven that's sitting upon his throne. I said, praise God, and he's strong. He's strong. He's able to do anything you want. Have nothing that's impossible with him.
That's right.
That's the kind of God we serve. You see him that way.
Amen.
Well, let me hasten on. I thought about this. Brother Shepherd, I was talking to him yesterday. Thank God for the good fellowship we had last evening and Friday evening when he picked us up. I enjoyed that. I tell you, We need good time of fellowship.
Yes, sir.
We got to have it. I believe that's part of God's work of us fellowshipping together. And as I was talking with you and asked you how long you stayed at Vision, I think it was 26 years, and coming up on four years here, I think. Already been here three. And I thought about this as I was reading, studying there in the church, out there at the layout of sin. I thought as you come here, and I didn't say anything about it, Brother Shepherd, but I thought, probably when God instilled in your heart and your soul that God wanted you here and you got to a place that you didn't have no doubt about it, this is where God wants you, I believe God gave you a vision for Island Ford Baptist Church.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I believe God gave you a vision. I tell you, and the thing about it is, and I feel for my pastor, Brother Perry, sometimes he preached a message on a Wednesday night back here some time ago, and I was there, and he's preaching about the heart of the ministry, I guess, there. And he was saying things, and I could sense what he's trying to do. And I told him after the service, I said, brother, the people didn't get it. The people didn't get it. In other words, God had given him a vision.
Yeah.
And I thought what we need in our today. I listen, the sheep, I need to get the vision that the shepherd's got. If the sheep could get the vision, I listen, if the sheep could just get a part of the vision that the shepherd's got, I'm telling you how you can turn Madisonville upside down for the glory of God. I believe that preacher, I believe what's holding back as what you talked about this morning. Listen, we as church, as members, listen, we just don't get what God wants us to have. But I'm telling you, what you ought to do, get close enough to God. Listen, and pray for your pastor. Listen, where God can give you just part of the vision that He's given him. I'm telling you, you can do things for the glory of God.
Amen.
I believe that. I didn't start. I'll tell you, last night, it might have been a night when I surrendered to the preacher. Listen, made it public, or was going to make it public. I'll tell you, on a Wednesday night, this is September 1900, I'll tell you, in 81, when me and my wife come into church, put an older son to bed, and we got down the living room floor, down beside that old black couch, somewhere between the wee hours, Wednesday night, and the late hours of Wednesday night, and the wee hours of Thursday morning, I thank God I come up rejoicing, I give the Lord. Can I tell you, listen, God, are you still able to take, listen, and enlighten us and let us see some things that needs to take place at the house of God? Amen.
Amen.
People go away. Well, I wonder what's wrong with a preacher. Is God trying to get some eyesight in your eye that you might be able to see a little better than you did when you come in the house of God? Now, I know it's not, Brother Shepherd, it's not very popular. And I tell you, God's blessed. I tell you, America, with old-time preaching, and the devil's trying to take and stomp it out.
Yes, sir.
But as long as God will give me a breath and a strength to preach it, I praise God, I'm gonna bear it out. He said, cry loud and spare not. I want to take and do what God wants me to do. But I'm telling you, church, I mentioned you need to come to a place in your life where you'll get just a little bit. I'll tell you what God has showed your pastor.
Amen.
You can get her done for the glory of God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, everybody out there is not saved. Everybody out there is not going to church.
Yep.
These missionaries, I tell you, on the road 4 and 5 years. I tell you, trying to get up enough money to go to the field. I want to tell you, friend, listen, as you said this morning, God has put that responsibility upon us as a church. And if you're a member, I'll tell you, of Island Ford Baptist Church, God's placed that responsibility upon you to help get the gospel, I'll tell you, around the world. And not here just in this county, but I'm going to tell you, around the world.
Right.
God has put that responsibility upon us. But here, what kind of vision do you have for Island Ford Baptist Church?
Yes, sir. That's good.
I have people, I ask them about church, I say, how are we doing? Pretty good. What's pretty? What's good?
I know
what they're trying to say, but either we're marching forward or we ain't going to.
Right.
But God speaks it where He blessed the church. He purchased the church with His blood in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. That's how, and I'll tell you, if we're saved by the grace of God, you're part of this local church.
Right.
If you're a member of the church. And God wants you to have a vision like your shepherd's got.
Amen.
Now I heard a preacher say this long time ago, Brother President. He said this, shepherds don't produce sheep. Sheep produces sheep.
Yep, that's right.
And I tell you, we've got people in churches that thinks the pastor's supposed to do it all. That's what we pay them to do.
Yeah.
And I was called over in another state, preach, have me come in, preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and then I preach mission conference for them on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. And he said, I think my wife heard him say it, said, preacher, said, I want you to preach it. I want you to preach it. I said, all right, brother. You give me the green light, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And before four Tuesday night, some of them was already mad.
Yeah.
One lady, my wife, heard her. Member of the church, I'm talking about up in years, looked like 1 foot's already in the grave. I'm talking about up in years. She heard her say it. Said, I don't need a preacher to come in and tell me about giving the missions. Been in church. And I'll tell you, a preacher's wife come to me after service. My wife heard her husband already died on pastor churches. And she said, I've never heard preaching on giving like that. I scratched my head and said, huh? And that's my wife. She told me the second time. I said, I never heard preaching on giving. I like that. I won't tell you, friend, whether you hear it or not. I got back in church. I never did hear the pastor take and get in the Word of God and ever preach on tithing or giving. But I'll tell you, God help me. And I'm not boasting. I'll tell you, but a person wants to know, God speaks it where you can learn it. Amen. I'll tell you, they didn't preach it to me, but I've been tithing a long time.
Amen.
Go back out to 1974.
Amen.
Why does people get up so upset? I can't understand why people get so upset and mad at the preaching of the truth.
Right. You're right.
But God said in the last days that they turn their ears away from the truth. There'll be more people taking give to that Jesse Duplantis. Somebody said you ain't supposed to call names. Jesse Duplantis.
Yeah.
Wants $54 million for that jet. It's already got three. And there'll be people taking give $50 million to give.
Yep.
And wouldn't take and give $5 for a missionary to take and help get him
right.
to the field. There's something wrong with that picture.
Yes, sir.
I tell you what they've done, they can't see.
Yep.
They can't see.
Yep.
The vision, they can't see. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. You're still with me now, ain't you?
Yes, sir.
Well, praise the Lord. And so I thought, what the sheep needs to do, they need to get the vision that the shepherds got and march on for the glory of God.
Amen.
And then, let me say this and I'll be done. I thought about this. Church members, we call ourselves saints. What people out there need to see, they need to see the steadfastness of the saints.
Yes, sir.
Now, you can't get a lot of people to come to church. Can't get a lot of people here preaching. Can't get them to come fellowship with you. But I tell you what they're doing, they are reading our life.
That's right.
And somebody said, well, preacher, I tell them, but they can see more than what you're telling them.
Right.
They tell them one thing, I'll tell you and do another.
Right.
I'll tell you that's confusion.
Yes.
To somebody out there walking. I won't tell you what they need to see. They need to see the steadfastness of the saints.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, I was reading there in the early church and studying a little bit about early church. I praise God, you didn't have to look twice to see whose side they was on.
Right.
I'll tell you, they was blessed so, Brother Pleasant. They was blessed so. There in the book of Acts chapter number 2, that they sold everything to have.
Yep.
And bought it and give it to the church. It
yes,
is distributed as needed.
Sure did.
That'd get a lot of us, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, the people around them didn't have to think twice of whose side they was on.
Right.
They knew they was on the Lord's side.
Yes,
they could
sir.
See it. And so let me give you this. I jotted a few things down here about what they need to see. They need to see the steadfastness in our stand for the church.
Yeah.
Not too many people want to stand for the church nowadays.
Yeah.
They see our steadfastness in our support for the church.
Yes, sir.
Wonder how much we support the church. Then I thought about this. They need to see our steadfastness in our sincerity for a church. I mean, we need to get serious about church, friend. And then I thought about this. They need to see our steadfastness in our service for the church. Now, I know y'all got a special church here out of Ford Baptist Church, but I'm telling you, I'm talking in general, there's not too many people that stand that's even serious about the church. I tell you, there's a lot of places, and if time keeps going on, it'll probably happen, but there's a lot of places they will not care if the authorities was to come, put a chain and a lock around the church and lock her down and said, you can't go in there.
Right.
They say, well, we can't go to church anymore.
Yep.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm like Jeremiah. If I can't preach in a little while, it's like fire set up in my bones. I'd have to get my wife somewhere. I'll tell you, out in the cornfield or somewhere where they might hear us. But they couldn't see us. Thank God. Hey, if I had to preach to her,
right.
The blessed Word of God.
Amen.
They need to see our steadfastness.
Amen.
And I ain't got time to do a word study on steadfastness, but you can take a look it up.
Amen.
And then I thought about this. They ought to see our steadfastness in our sacrifice for the church. Sacrifice for the church. There's some things that seem like the devil has blinded us to that God wants us to see. And I don't know how we're going to get them to see it, Brother Shepherd. And I know it's going to take the preaching of the Word of God. But how are you going to get them to sit still long enough and unwind and get all that stress out where they can take and see and hear what thus saith the Word of God?
Yes, sir.
Look here. Did you know the sweet Spirit of God is real sensitive?
Yes, sir, He is.
If we don't watch it, look here. It don't take much to offend the sweet Spirit of God. And when He comes in our life, and I know, don't speak in olive oil, so I understand that. But I'm telling you, when He comes talking to us and letting us know things in our life that He wants to see get straightened out, and we sit down and ponder on that and don't do what He's instructed us to do, and then we'll say, Lord, is that really me? Lord, you really talking to me? And the next thing you know, you want to take and do it, and the Spirit of God is done. Now I know He indwells us, and I know, but I'm talking about some instructions and things He wants us to do.
Right.
He's very sensitive.
Yes, sir. He is.
I heard Brother Sammy Allen say this, and he mentioned him in Sunday school years ago in the early 90s. This past March the 9th, on Wednesday night, I've been an evangelist for 27 years.
Amen.
I heard Brother Sammy Allen say, when he's getting ready to start the service, he said, hey, now, son, look up here. He said, I want everybody to be real sensitive to the Spirit.
Right.
I've never heard that terminology before. And I thought to myself, I said, I wonder what he's trying to say. And then he went on to explain himself a little bit. And I said, Lord, that's exactly right.
Yep.
Exactly right. And most of the time, if we don't watch ourselves, even when God blesses your pastor to take and preach, if we don't watch ourselves, the devil will have us so blinded to the fact that what God's trying to do in our life, that we'll push it aside.
Yep.
Think about what we're going to do after church, or looking around across the aisle or something about what's people going to think. That's the devil's way of stopping you from being able to see what God wants you to see.
Yes, sir.
And He told the people there in the church of the Laodicea. He told them what kind of condition. This is what they said. They said, we're increased with goods and have need of nothing.
Yep.
Have need of nothing. The only thing they could see is the material things in their life, and the lust of the flesh, and the pride of eyes, and the monetary things, and they couldn't see beyond that for the spiritual things.
Right.
And what they, look here, and what they needed, the Lord had it for them.
That's right.
And this is how He got it. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, didn't say the knock, will hear my voice, and open the door, He said, I'll come in and sup with them, and He with me.
Amen.
Now, let me ask you this morning. I'm done. What kind of spiritual vision do you have today? You saved? Saved by the grace of God?
Amen.
Then you ought to have a spiritual vision. And I tell you, when Dr. Shiver said to Mr. Locker, said, I'm going to dilate your eyes. And I'd had it done before, but I kind of forgot about it. And he said, just lay your head back a little bit. He said, one drop in here and one drop in here. He said, and that's going to take about 20 minutes. But he said, you need to sit here in the office, you go out there to Walmart, wherever you want to go. I said, all right. So I went out and sat down in the office for a few minutes. And my wife got me one of them Fitbits, and that thing went off. Said, 90 steps. I said, man, I'll go outside and walk 90 steps and perk that thing up a little bit. And when I opened the door and went out, that sun was shining. It is about 95. And oh, I grabbed my eyes, and I tell you, tears started coming. And I wasn't trying to cry.
Right.
But I tell you, tears, if you're having water, started coming. And he gave me a Kleenex. I reached my paw, got off. And I tell you, I walked up there two or three times. I tell you, that thing went off, said 90 steps up. I went back in there. And so when he checked me, I said, ain't got no cataracts, anything to hurt my vision. And he's writing something. He said, wait just a minute, preacher. And he went back. He said, let me check him again. Got that thing, checked him again. And he kind of grinned. He said, when you asked me that, so I was writing it on the paper. I said, I didn't really know if I checked it for cataracts or not. He said, that's the reason why I checked it the second time. And I thought, thank the Lord. And he said, no, he said, you don't have no cataracts. I said, praise the Lord. But I thought, why won't we do that for the Lord?
Right.
If they do that for our natural vision, our physical vision, why don't we ever try to do that and check it for the second time?
Amen.
Now, to see what, look here, to see how the Lord's wanting to help us and to get us to see.
Amen.
What we need to do. Hey church, what kind of spiritual vision do you have? Let me ask you this, what kind do you want?
Right.
Now if these wasn't to work, you know what he'd done? He wrote me out a prescription in case I wanted new glasses. He'd wrote me out a prescription. If these wasn't strong enough, I could have took and got more glasses and still come up with 20/20 vision. God's fixed it where whatever's blocking it, whatever's keeping us to see what God wants to see, He's got the eyesight to put in our eyes.
Amen.
To help us to see.
Amen.
That spiritual part that He wants us to see.
Yes, sir.
And look here, did you know that's up to us?
Right.
Your pastor can't make you do it.
Yep.
I tell you, Sunday school teacher can't get you to do it. Your wife can't get you to do it. Your husband can't. Your spouse, I tell you, you can't even make your children do it.
Right.
But I tell you, you've got to come to a place in your life where you'll say, yes, Lord, I think I need some of that salve in my eyes.
Amen.
To help me. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the service this morning. Thank you for the Sunday school hour. Thank you, Lord, for the good liberty, the good spirit that we had to take and preach Thy Word again this morning. Lord, we're looking forward to the service tonight, but something might happen that we might not never get back. Lord, tonight to preach again. Lord, I've tried. If I could have done it a better, Lord, I sure would have tried. I pray You use it now. You promised us in the Word of God that Your Word will not return void, that accomplish that which You please. Lord, I pray You do it now. Lord, this is a solemn time. Sometimes I think it's one of the most important parts of the service. Lord, will we just give a few minutes of an altar call? Lord, I pray that You would speak to hearts now. Lord, not only speak, but help people to be obedient to that, Lord, what You say, I pray. James chapter number 1 says, it's just not a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the Word of God. Help us, I pray, Lord, for just a few minutes now to check and see about our spiritual vision. And if it's not the kind that we need in 2018, God, help us to come. Call upon Your name that we might let You help us see those things that we need to see for Your honor and Your glory. We'll thank and praise in Jesus' name. What time she plays softly, just for a moment. Some already come to the altar praying. Would you need to come? Would you need to come? Let the Lord help you. Oh, God is so good to us. God's been so good. We sing that song sometime. He's so good. So good to me. God's been so good to me. He sure has blessed me. And then I get to thinking sometime I've been blessed by the best. You can't get no better than God. Would you come?